This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Right. Well, welcome everybody to Time Change Sunday. It's good to have you here as part of our worship service. Hey, if you don't know already, go ahead and open the app, or if you don't have our app to follow the message notes, you can grab the QR code now and kind of follow along there as well. If you want, there is a paper out in the lobby on a chair out there, has kind of the notes that we're going through today. There's a lot of promises we've been working through in this series, promises of God that we want you to take with you so that you can have them when times are tough or when you're questioning. And so we want you to be able to have that. And as you're getting that ready, a couple of announcements to let you know some things going on. One is, after the service today, we do something called Meet the Staff. We get a chance to know us, get us to see what's going on. So it's today. We try to do it the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to do that over in the preschool area. So if you're not sure where that is, you just go out in the hallway, take the first left down the hallway, and we'll be waiting there for you. So if you have questions for me or any of the staff, we'll be able to answer them. You can find out about the church. So it's going to happen today after the second service. Give us a couple minutes to let people get out, and then we'll go in there. And then the second announcement is, after 4 years with COVID and the community and everything, we're going to go back to doing something we used to do, and we absolutely love it. It's called the Gift Mart. And what the Gift Mart is a chance to serve our community. We do it through Old Town Elementary, just down the street. And we know the parents there struggle in many ways, financially in different ways, so we want to say, let's help them. So what the Gift Mart is a chance for us to share the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus at Christmas. And what happens is we're going to ask for about 1,000 presents here in our community, and we're going to set it up in a store in their gym. There's 100 families that have been selected that will come in there, and they will buy gifts that are donated for between $1, $3, and $5, so it's from them. So we don't want to be a handout. We want them to be able to buy it, so when they present it to their children, it's from them. And then they'll come in that day, they'll shop, we'll wrap it for them, they'll go away with it, the kids will come, they'll do an activity away so they don't know what they're going to get, and then we will just serve the community. So we could use all kinds of stuff for that today. Volunteers, great way to serve with your family, donations of toys, that kind of thing. There's a flyer that you'll get on your way out if you didn't already get it. And we just want to get back into the business or the ministry of serving our community. Really, really big with us. And after COVID, it's been a long time. We're ready to get started again. So consider that. I know Christmas is almost here, right? If you think about it, it's time change, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. So it's time to get ready for that. Today, we are going to continue our series we're calling Moving Forward, Trusting in the Promises of God. It's a 6-week series. Today is the last one. And as we've been looking at this, basically the idea is this. God has a vision and a reason for you to be here. God has a purpose on your life. He has a calling on your life. There is things in Scripture, there are verses in Scripture to point to that. There are things that we look at, and so God has you here. What is it? He wants you to be a certain kind of person. Who is it? And so he casts that vision, and then we have to understand it's not up to us. It's up to God to work in us. And he gives us promises to know that he will be there to make this happen in our lives. And that's what this series has been about, trusting in the promises of God. We're looking at 6 different promises. So we've done 5 already. We're going to review now. And then today we're going to go through the 6th and final one. So if you have been here, this is a quick review. If this is new for you, here you go. So the first one we looked at is, as we're moving forward, we can trust God to provide for us. Like, you're going to need things for the journey. You're going to need money, you're going to need people, you're going to need opportunities, you're going to need inspiration, all kinds of things. And God says, when you're following my path, when you're moving forward with Jesus, I'm going to provide for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8 was when we did the very first week. I love this promise. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So you'll have exactly what you need to accomplish what God has given you. That is his promise. You don't have to worry about it. Don't have to fret. He will provide when you need it. Second thing he's going to do for you, we can trust God to guide us. Because you're going to need direction. I'm going to need direction. Like, where do we go, God? Who's the person I'm supposed to marry? What job? Where do you want us to head next? What do you want me to do for ministry purposes? We need his guidance. Sometimes we need it every moment, right? And right when we need it, he gives it to us. He has promised that. Psalm 48:14 was one of the first ones we looked at. It says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He's always there for us. He will be our guide even to the end. He'll show you. Jesus is the great shepherd, right? He will lead us to where we need to go. We just need to listen and follow along. It's a great, great promise for us that he will show us when we need to know us. If you're looking for guidance, like where to go to school next, what job to do, where to move, how to continue, who to get married to, all those things, he promised to guide us. Number three, we can trust God to strengthen us. You're going to get tired along the way, right? We all get tired. How many of you guys are tired this morning? Even with an extra hour of sleep. You guys stayed up too late, right? We get tired. And we're going to need strength. You and I are going to need strength for doing this thing that we call life with Jesus. And so he's going to strengthen us. Isaiah 41:10, a great verse to remember. Fear not, for I'm with you. He's not going to leave you alone. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You can trust God for that. Number four, 2 weeks ago, we talked about this. We can trust God to answer our prayers as we pray, as we go to him. We can trust that he's listening, and not only listening, he's going to respond. Matthew 7:7, a promise from Jesus. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. He promised to hear. He promises to act. It may take a while. We're waiting for God's perfect timing, but he will respond. And then last week, we looked at a promise, and if you haven't heard these, you can go back to Facebook and catch up too, but this is just a summary. We can trust God to protect us from temptation, because as you're on this path of life, you're going to be tempted to step off, you're going to take a wrong turn, you're going to be tempted to go in the wrong way with the wrong people, this is going to happen, and so he promises to protect us from temptation. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. In our crazy world when not much is faithful, God is faithful, right? And he will establish you and you and guard you against the evil one. He will take care of you. And that's what we've covered so far in this series. Today, the last one we're going to look at in this series is number 6. We can trust God to finish what he has started in our lives. And this is one of my favorite ones. We can trust him to finish what he has started in our lives. If you're a follower of Jesus, there was a day that you made a decision to step over a line, right? You said, okay, I used to live for myself. I used to be one in charge. I used to live for what I wanted to do. But this day, I want to give my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to live for him. That was a choice that many of you made. And when you made that choice, God began to work in your life in a newer way. We are new creation. And he says to us, I'm going to finish what I started that day. I'm going to keep working in you. I'm going to keep pouring my life and my spirit into you. And you're going to follow this path and you're going to be okay because I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish what I'm doing. Today, we're going to look at a lot of verses that deal with these promises. And these are great verses, like Psalm 57:2. The writer says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will fulfill his purpose. And I love this God Most High. He's above everything. He's above your circumstances. He's above your problems. He's above our thoughts. He can see things that we don't see. He knows things we don't know. And he says, I will fulfill my purpose in you. You are here for a purpose. You're on this earth for a purpose that God has created you for. And he says, I'll finish it. I will complete it. Philippians 1:6 is something very similar. Paul is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking to a church in Philippi. He says in Philippians 1:6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. So he began a work there in that church in Philippi. They were there for a purpose. Each person was there for a purpose. He says, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to finish what I started in that church. The same thing with Bridges Church. He's going to start something, has started something. He's going to finish it. You just keep going knowing that. And there's days when you just fall back on these promises, right? God, I don't know. I'm a little worried. And God said, I got you. I'm going to finish what I started. Psalm 138:8, another one says this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He will do it. For my life, he will fulfill his purpose. And then he reminds himself why he knows that. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. You're never going to stop loving me. I'm your child. It never goes away. God will finish it because of his love that never stops. And this last part's kind of a prayer, isn't it? He says, look, God, do not forsake the work of your hands. In other words, God, don't give up on me. I know I've made mistakes. I know I've gone the wrong way for a while. And for some people, maybe you took a wrong turn. And you're saying, God, don't give up on me. Don't forsake the work of your hands. Don't leave me behind. And God said, I won't do that. I won't leave you behind because I love you. And I love the psalmist prayer. Don't forsake the work of your hands. Don't give up on me, God. And maybe that's you today just saying, God, don't give up on me. I'm a work in progress. And God says, I know that. I know you are. God says, my promises will be there for you. The missionary William Carey wrote this. He said, the future for our lives is as bright as the promises of God. I hope you believe that. That God has a future for us and that his future is as bright as his promises. And that's something we count on every single day. Now here, maybe there's probably two groups of people in here today, maybe three, but I'm just going to see what I think. There's a group of you that everything in your life right now is going well. It's all like the wind is in your sails. God is like working in your life. You go one place, you hear from God. You go another place, you hear something similar. You're reading the scriptures. You're praying, he's answering. Doors are opening. Life is good, and that's wonderful when that happens. And that, for many of us, that is an existence that we're in, and that's really, really good. I actually did a sailing when I was little. I lived on the coast, and there's nothing better than being a sailboat with the wind behind you. And you're just flying. I used to have a friend that had a catamaran. And if you know catamarans, they pop up on one hole as you're going. And you're leaning out on the trapeze, which looks like a swing. And you're holding on. And you're just flying. And you're just moving with the wind. And it's so good. And then there's other times, and you've probably experienced this, where it doesn't feel like anything's happening. And you're stuck. Ever happened to you? You're praying and don't feel anything happening. You're reading the word. It's just like it's getting there, but you're not hearing from God. You're praying and you're not hearing answers. What do you do in those cases? You know he's promised you, but how do you go through it? There's a thing in our world called the intertropical convergence zone. Have you ever heard of this? The intertropical convergence zone. Maybe you know it as the doldrums. And the, not in your life right now, but maybe it is. But the doldrums are about 5 degrees north of the equator and 5 degrees south of the equator. Above it, the trade winds go in one direction, blow really, really strong. The southern hemisphere, they go in the opposite way, but they blow really strong. But for this band around our equator, they don't blow. It's dead a lot of times. And none of that, because it's hot, the air goes up. So it used to be, remember when it used to be only sailing vessels you could go across the ocean? They would be flying with the trade winds. They'd get to the doldrums, and they would just stop. And there was something that they hadn't experienced before, which was no movement. And they couldn't create the wind. They couldn't move. They didn't have engines to get going. They just had to wait for the wind to blow. And maybe you felt that way spiritually sometimes, or in life. You're just kind of there. You can't make things happen. You've tried, and it feels like you're in the doldrums. What do you do? Because you know God's promised. You know he's faithful. What do you do when you're in that spot? Well, today I want to talk about two things to remember, because sometimes all you can do is just stop and remember. So on your outline, two things that we're going to remember when we're going, okay, God, I need you to work. I'm looking for you to work. I need you to finish what you started, and I don't want to lose sight of that. So two things to remember. And the first thing is this, because we know that God will finish what he started, there is always hope. Because of Jesus Christ, we just sang, there is always hope. He gives us hope. We know he won't let us down. We know he's not going to drop the ball. We know he's not going to fail us. So therefore, we always have hope. Hope is defined this way. It's the feeling of expectation. Like you wake up in the day and go, I expect God to work. I expect him to do something today. And it's desire for a certain thing to happen. Like I'm looking for you to do something in this area. God, I prayed about it. You promised me. I'm going to look with hope, because if you lose hope, you stop moving forward, right? It's a feeling of trust is what hope is. If you've ever lost hope in a relationship, in a job, in your view of God, ever lost hope in the world, you know it's a really tough place to be. It's a really tough place to be, because hope keeps us moving. When you have hope, then you're able to keep moving forward. Desmond Tutu, Bishop Desmond Tutu wrote this one time. He said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. You're still able to see there is a light out there to follow. I have hope in God. Theologian John Piper, Pastor John Piper, wrote this. He said, darkness comes. It's going to happen in life. In the middle of it, the future looks blank, right? You can't see anything. It doesn't make sense. The temptation to quit is huge. I just want to stop. I just want to quit at that time. And he says, don't. Don't quit. You're in good company. You will argue with yourself that there is no way forward. You'll get that little voice in your head, I don't think this is going to work. But with God, remember, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of the pits than you can conceive. He says, wait, pray without ceasing when you're there, and hope above all else, right? Don't lose sight of hope when you're there. Hebrews 10:23, another great verse, tells us this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold on to it tight. Hold on to hope tight without wavering, without going back and forth. I'm not sure if God's going to come through or not. He said, don't waver. Hold fast to it, for he who promised is faithful. He will see you through. One of my favorite verses, maybe yours too, is Isaiah 40, verse 31. For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And just as Luke already prayed for us, it's like if you hope in the Lord, you're going to have strength. Not in your job, not in your money, not in your savings account, not in the government. Remember voting on Tuesday? Not in, and it's great, God's called people to that, but that's not where our hope is, right? It's not in the financial world around us. It's not in our army. It's in the Lord. And when you have hope in the Lord, you will soar like wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I was thinking about this around here. They will soar like eagles. And like, if you look around here, what are the birds that soar in our area? There's like two types. One's a turkey buzzard, right? And it's not, I mean, that's not a great sermon illustration because turkey buzzards are not majestic animals, are they? I mean, they're soaring above our head because they're looking for dead things on the ground, and they have a role to play. They take out the garbage, right? That's what their role is. But the other animal, the other bird around here that soars is the bald eagle. And you guys know we have bald eagles in this area. There's a family that lives at the dump. I don't know what that means or why, but we had some people that work at the dump. They said they live there in the trees, and they soar, right? Now, our son Ethan was driving through our neighborhood the other day, and there was a bald eagle in the tree, and he took a picture of it. It looked big. It looked huge. And then it saw something, and it flew away, and they soar. And how do you soar if you're a bird? None of you are birds, so you don't know, right? How do you soar? You've got to get to the area where the wind's blowing. And when you find the right height and you get the right wind, you can soar without any effort. He said, that's what it's like when you have hope in the Lord. The world's crazy around you. Things are happening. But you find that space with him in your hope, and you're just able to soar above it all. You're able to keep going. And that's what hope will do for us. Soar like a bird. Now, here's something to think about. Everybody in here probably has a soundtrack of some kind in your mind, right? I don't know if you have a playlist. Does anybody have a playlist that you constantly play in your car? Do you have like travel music? Anybody have travel music? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody have workout music? All right. Does anybody work out in this room? Okay. You do. All right. So you do. All right. So you have that workout music, right? You're listening to it. It gets you going, get you fired up. Anybody have clean the house music? Do anybody do that? Okay. Some of you do, right? We used to live in an apartment in California where the lady loved this one band, and she would play it so loud we could hear it above everything in our apartment. I'd go bang on the door, turn your music down. She heard it over the vacuum cleaner, but that was her working music. Anybody have yard work cleaning music? Anybody? Leaf cleaning? Because you need it, because I've raked my yard 4 times already this year, and it's all come back down again. I've got at least 3 more times. We need music sometime, a soundtrack to get us going, right? We need that to pump into our life, to give us hope and give us energy. Now, here's the other deal. We have a soundtrack that's not music playing in our head a lot of times. And when things get tough, maybe you hear this in your soundtrack. It's hard. I don't think it's ever going to end. I don't see God right now. I just want to quit. I just want to go to Jamaica. Is that any part of your soundtrack? I just want to go somewhere warm, especially when it gets cold. I mean, that plays in our mind, right? And yet what God wants to do is take these soundtracks in our head and change them over to God's promises. That's why we're going through this. These are the things that we listen to. I want to give you a soundtrack verse today. It's really simple, okay? It's Psalm 71, verse 14. So that when things are tough, get this playing in your head and your heart. And this is it. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Just that first part. As for me, I will always have hope. As for me, I will always have hope. So what I want you to do, guys, you're going to speak this back to me. I'm going to count to three, and on three, you're going to say this back to me, okay? Here's what it is. As for me, I will always have hope. You guys ready? One, two, three. As for me, I will always have hope, all right? Now, if you know the person near you, if there's someone near you, or you can just say it to me, we're going to say it to the person next to you. So you got to look at them, or if they're not anybody by you, look at me. We're going to do it one more time. Are you guys ready? You're going to speak this into someone's life. Ready? As for me, I will always have hope. Now, if this is a bad day for you, or a bad week, or a bad month, or a bad life, I want you to say it really loud, okay? You guys ready? We're going to say this one to really get into our head, right? One, two, three. As for me, I will always have hope. So when you're in a bad spot and things are tough and you're watching the news and you turn to the news and you say to the news, as for me, I will always have hope. When you get that email and it's not a good email from your boss, you're going to say to the email, as for me, I will always have hope, right? When that bill comes this week and you can't pay it, as for me, I always have hope. When you burn dinner, not that you're going to burn dinner, right? When you burn dinner, as for me, I always have hope that we can go to a restaurant tonight. I mean, that may be your hope, okay? But this is a soundtrack that God wants in our mind. He wants it in our heart. He wants it in our life. His word. His promises to us. Because here's what hope does. Hope sees around the corner. Hope gets you up in the morning. Hope gets you through during the day. Hope says, God's got me. God's got everything around me. God's in control. Hope lets you see what other people don't see when things are tough. That's why in everything, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can trust that he is going to bring this to fruition. He's going to make this happen. He's going to complete what he started. He's going to finish it. And because of that, I will always have hope. That's the first thing to remember when things get tough and you're in the doldrums. Second thing to remember, because we know that God will finish what he started, we must never give up. We must never give up. This is something that God wants to speak into our life. We must never give up. It's a promise straight out of Scripture. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, because there's sometimes you're going to get weary of doing the right thing. You're going to get tired of loving somebody that doesn't love you back. You're going to get tired of dealing with a boss that's not fair. You're going to get tired of dealing with financial issues. You're going to get tired of praying and not hearing from God during a season of your life. He says, don't grow weary of doing good. For this season, for in due season, we will reap. It will happen. You will see me answer if what? If we do not give up. I heard about a hero last month. I don't know if you heard about this hero. I think we have a picture of this hero. It made the news. You guys know what this is? You might know what kind of bird? Any ornithologists in here? No? It looks like a piper, doesn't it? A little piper on the ground. This is a bar-tailed godwit. You've all heard of that, right? The bar-tailed godwit. You ever heard of this bird? A bird like this, on October the 13th, last month, took off from Alaska. And somehow they got a GPS on this little bird that's solar-powered. I don't know if the panel covered its whole back or what. But it's a solar-powered GPS tracker. On October 13th, left Alaska. On October the 24th, this bird landed in Tasmania, Australia. Now, for those that don't know this, this is Alaska up here, and Tasmania is down here, okay, the very bottom almost of the world. 8,388 miles, and the bird never stopped, never landed. It lost a third of its weight during that time. How did it know to do this? Because God created it to go from one place to the next, to keep moving forward. To always move forward, to never stop flying. Now, some of you are parents, and you've watched Finding Nemo till you're about to die, right? You've seen. And what does Dory say in Finding Nemo? You tell me. Just keep swimming, right? Just keep swimming. I think this Godwit bird kept saying, just keep flying. Just keep flying. You choose what you want to hear. If you want to keep saying, just keep swimming, that's fine. God says, just keep going. Just keep going. Don't give up, because in due season, you will reap my promises. Do you ever wonder how often people miss what God has for them because they quit too soon? Just quit too soon. Quit on God, quit on life, quit on a marriage, quit on a job, quit on a situation, quit on praying. just because they couldn't wait one more day. Every day, that's why every day is new. Today, I'm just going to keep on flying. I'm not going to give up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, another great promise. He says, for you have need of endurance. You need to keep going because you need to be like Jesus. So that when you've done the will of God, when you finish what he's asked you to do, then you may receive what is promised. You do what God's asked you to do, fulfill what he's called you to do, then he meets you there. And I love that about God. I will come through. Just don't give up. Don't get too tired. I think we can go much further than we think we can go. Maybe not 8,388 miles, but God can keep you going. He says, when you're tired, I'll give you strength. So don't give up. When you're worn out, I will meet you there and I'll provide for you. The people you need to encourage you, just don't give up. I will answer your prayer in the due season. Just don't give up. I will guide you. I'll show you the way. It's not ready yet. You're not ready yet. The circumstances aren't ready yet, but it's coming. Just don't give up. The healing is coming. Just don't give up. I have a plan. Just don't give up. I think he says that to us over and over. Just don't give up. So if you're here today and maybe what exactly you needed to hear, God's saying, I will come through. You can trust me. Don't give up. Dina Nestor is a runner. She's a long-distance runner. She at one point held the U.S. American record for the marathon. And she was exceptional through high school, exceptional through college. And she went on to run, and she was doing really well, but she got burned out, completely burned out. Wanted to quit. So she did something unusual. She hired a new coach. And this coach wasn't there to coach her in running. This coach was there to teach her about her mind and her spirit. Because her body was fine. It was her mind and spirit that wanted to quit. And so he taught her some new things to say to give her a new soundtrack because she wanted to quit. And this is a soundtrack that he gave her to listen to. This was the question she had to ask herself when she was about done. Are you going to throw in the towel finally, or are you going to drop the hammer? I love that. Are you going to finally quit? Because you talk about quitting. You're ready to quit. Are you going to finally do that? Or drop the hammer means you're going to put it in another gear and go a little harder. Because that's where you find your strength. And so whenever she wanted to quit, and now she's like a master's runner, means she's older. All right, she went to the Olympics in Athens, medaled there. But now she's older, she's still running, and so she still wants to quit sometimes. But in her mind, she's going, am I ready to throw in the towel, or is it time to drop the hammer? I will always have hope. As for me, I will always have hope. I'm going to keep going. Today is the day to go a little bit stronger. Some of you know the speaker, Patsy Claremont. You may have read her books, heard her speak before. She's really funny. She's very insightful. She's written over 30 books. The very first book she wrote, she sent off the editor. It came back covered with red ink. You ever have paper like that when you're in high school or something? It's just covered in red ink. And she said it looked like it was bleeding. It was so much red ink. So she wrote her editor and said, look, I get it, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Next time you write back, use a different color. Don't use red. It looks like blood. So the next time she got one back, it was corrected, but in green ink. And she said, okay, green makes me feel like I'm growing. I like that. So when she gets it back now, it's like, I'm growing. I've learned how to grow. I think this is what God does with us when we're going through a really hard time, going through the doldrums of the world. He says, look, I'm using this to grow you. Because while you want things to happen, I want you to be like Jesus. And as you go through this hard time, as you learn perseverance, you'll become like Jesus. As you learn patience, you'll become like Jesus. When you learn how to find joy in the midst of hardship, you're becoming like Jesus. When you can learn to trust me in the hardest times, you're becoming like Jesus. Look at these hard times a little bit differently and say, okay, it's green ink that God's sending to me. He said, this is a growing time for you. This is a growing time. God has something for you. He has promises to fulfill in your life. He is going to finish what he started in your life. He just says, I don't want you to give up on hope, and I don't want you to quit. We started this series with a verse I want to go back to. The Apostle Paul went through a lot of tough stuff. He met Jesus on the Damascus Road. It changed his life completely. Jesus completely sent him a whole different direction. It wasn't easy for Paul, right? He faced persecution. He faced times where people would listen. He faced times where people just ignored him. He faced times where they rejected him, when they ran him out of town. He went through a very difficult time. He went to prison. And yet he had this attitude that we see in Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14. This is what he wrote. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own." In other words, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I get it. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." I'm going to forget the past. I can't do anything about the past. "But I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. I'm going to move forward. And I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's where I'm heading. I'm moving forward. Paul had hope. He refused to give up at all he went through because the Holy Spirit was working in his life. There were times he was discouraged. There were times he was full of joy. He saw God do some amazing things to his life, and that's what God wants to do. But there's times where God says, "I'm going to be quiet. You need to grow." And Paul says, "No matter what, whether it's the good stuff, the hard stuff, I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep moving forward." And that's exactly what he wants for us. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this group of people that you brought together for a very specific purpose today, in here in this room, but also online. Father, you have a plan for each of our lives. You have a purpose, and you have promised to fulfill it. You have us here for a reason. You promised to show us and to guide us, to lead us. And we're going to trust you in that, Father God. And those days where everything's moving really well, we're so happy for those, and it's such a good feeling. Thank you for those, Father, when you're just moving in powerful ways. And the times where it's doldrums and the wind doesn't seem to be blowing, the Holy Spirit's doing things, but we can't see it. We just pray for those times for each one of us that you'll just keep us going. Give us hope every day. For anybody here that came in just needed hope, fill them with your Spirit to fill your power of hope in their lives. Lift our spirits today, Father. Lift our countenance that we may see you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would like prayer about something you're facing, we'd be glad to help you. If you want to meet afterwards, well, again, afterwards, we're having to meet the staff over in the preschool room, but we can talk in there. I'd love to be praying for you, helping you, encouraging you on the journey. At Bridges, we do stop every week for communion. There's a reason for that, because every week we want to stop and remember Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews has set the stage for the verse. Leading up to it in chapter 11, he says, "Remember all these people of the Bible who had faith, and some of them everything went really, really well for, and some of them it didn't. Remember those guys?" He's saying, well, let's think of them a different way. And he says it this way in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us," all those people who've come before, some of them things happened in their life that were just incredible. Other ones never got to see it, but they all had faith. There are witnesses. They're watching us. He says, "So let us also lay aside every encumbrance," all the stuff that slows us down, "and the sin which so easily entangles us," let's get rid of that too, "so that we can run the race with endurance that is set before us." And then he told us why. Why can we do that? He says, "You can do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He moved forward through the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We do communion every week to remember Jesus. In their culture, they would have eaten bread and wine every single day. And the idea of that was to remember Jesus when you're eating. Now, one of the most powerful things that God gives you is your imagination. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, this is what we need to do during communion. Picture Jesus doing something in the Bible that would speak to you. Maybe it's him when he welcomed the little children to his life, right? He says, don't hinder them. And maybe you're going to picture Jesus like that, just welcome you as a child. That's what you need. Maybe you're going to picture Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, and it seems like something dead's in your life, and you're just going to picture Lazarus coming out and Jesus standing there going, look what my Father can do. Maybe it's Jesus standing on the shore and he's feeding the 5,000. You go, man, Jesus, I need you to feed my spirit. I need you to take care of me. And he goes, look, I broke the bread and I gave thanks and it fed all these people when you're facing something huge. Maybe you want to picture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and he was sweating drops like blood. He's praying for us. God, give me the strength. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Maybe picture him on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. Maybe you're going to picture him Easter Sunday morning when he's standing outside the tomb And Mary didn't recognize him. She thinks he's a gardener. And he says her name, and her eyes are open, and she sees Jesus for who he is. Maybe that's what you need to see. Or maybe, like this verse, we're going to picture Jesus on the throne, in charge, in all his glory. And then we're going to see that face to face. So you use your imagination, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as you eat the bread and drink the juice, see Jesus. That's why we do it, to see Jesus, to remind us of him. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is open to you. To come after I pray and receive the bread and juice, return to your seat, close your eyes, open your imagination, picture Jesus, and eat and drink. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, this place, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the living Lord, our Savior, who took our sins upon himself, who lived a holy, perfect life, who met the needs of people, small and young and old, rich and poor. Help us to picture him today, our eyes focused on him, so we can endure like he endured. He went through the cross because of the hope of heaven, and we have that same hope, and we walk forward because of it. Bless us now, Father, with a great picture of Jesus in our hearts and minds as we take communion together. In his name, amen. Come forward when you're ready to receive communion.